Well, good morning to you all. Happy New Year again. And Wilshire Live, good morning to you as well. Happy New Year to you as well. We are excited. Man, what a wonderful morning. It's good to see this auditorium filled and just, it's a sunny day. It's beautiful weather out. It's sunny outside, but I say it's gloomy in my heart with the Raiders lost and heartbroken. I didn't know if I could preach this morning. I mean, I was just a grown man crying all day yesterday. I'm just teasing, but I mean, pray for me. Heartbroken. No, we are excited to start this new sermon series, and I'm Rob. I'm one of the pastors here, and we're excited to begin a new you. In this season of life change, and we come up with New Year's resolutions, but there's something we want to explore that the scriptures talk about, a new you. It goes beyond just simply a New Year's resolution. And so we want to explore what God has in store for 2017. So I'm excited to bring the word. I feel like God has a fresh word for our church and for our city this morning. So we'll jump right into that. And it really, when we look at Well, let me pray for us. Let's begin as we begin the new year, and as we've already started and met once, but let's begin this year in praying and asking God to just kind of center our hearts. Would you join me this morning? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are good. Although this is a new year, you have always been and you always will be. You are our God of the universe. Father, you are steadfast and you continue to stay the same, yet you created the world and you are doing a new thing in us. So may we be open to that this morning. May we live the way you created us to live, and may we flourish the way you want us to flourish. We ask that in your son's name. Amen. So with that idea in, you know, when we have these New Year's resolutions, there's something inside of our souls that we desire greatness, don't we? We want to be the best version of us. And there's something about a new year that does that. Because you can clump all of 2016 and maybe the past and just simply say, for some of my faults, some of my errors, I can put that in the past and begin to look forward. And really what God desires, God wants you to flourish in your life. Let's take a look at this at Psalm 92 says this. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. It'll be up on the screen, or we have our big blues in the pews. You can always take one of those and feel free to take one home if you don't have a Bible. Psalm 92, kind of right in the middle of your Bibles, says this, verse 13, or 12, excuse me. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. So the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. Do some of you have palm trees that just sprout up? In Southern California, I mean, they sprout up in your garden, and if you don't get them out right away, they are a pain, right? You can't just pull them like a weed. They come, but they flourish. And often they don't even need a lot of water, yet they flourish. And so what the scriptures say is the righteous, and how are you righteous? How are you right with God? And really that's entering in with a relationship with Jesus. It's not based on your performance. And we'll explore a little more of that as we go on. But God intended you to flourish, and to flourish like a palm tree, to be deeply rooted, and although the wind comes and the palm trees, they bend, but they don't break. And so that's what God desires for you to flourish in 2017. But how? Let's continue to look at that psalm. How do we flourish? Look at verse 13. That says this. It says, planted in the house of the Lord. Or in this version, they will flourish in the courts of God. How will you flourish? One of the ways you will flourish in 2017 is in the house of God. Now, the scriptures talk about the kingdom, God's house, the heavenly, in heaven, when you're in his heavenly house. But then also, Jesus even describes, he says, my house will be a house of prayer. The church will be a house of prayer. He describes the church as a house. Part of the ways God designs you and me to flourish is in his church. And so one of the ways, maybe a goal for 2017, is to commit to flourishing within the church and commit to flourishing, helping others flourish here at Wilshire. Part of the ways we flourish is simply encouraging each other and reminding each other of how good God is. Reminding each other where we are rooted and where do we get our strength? Where does our hope come from? And so that is what we want to continue to do in 2017. But as many of you know, and sometimes we look at our 2017 and our goals, I don't know about you, but have you ever tried to have New Year's resolutions, and then maybe it's the first week or two, and somebody asks you about that New Year's resolution, how's it going, and you've already failed it? Am I the only one that's done that? That you try, and there's something, but we fail to really live out and be who we want to be. Because a life of flourishing can actually be contagious. And why we want to commit to coming to church and being part of this, when you are flourishing, that becomes contagious to others. John Ortberg, a pastor up north, used this analogy where it was a true story where he was trying to catch a plane and he's noticing on the bus, you know, if you travel, everybody nowadays, we pull up our phones, newspapers, and you're in maybe a bus or you're going on the way to a shuttle on the way to the airport, and we're all in our individual lives, and we don't interact. We interact less and less nowadays. And so he's noticing this. He's noticing how everyone's just on their phones, not talking, you know, everyone a little impatient, looking for, are we going to make our flight? Are we going to make it on time? But there was one man that began to make a difference. And it was the bus driver. And the bus driver, as people were getting on, he was picking people up and he said, I never want people, he says, everybody is traveling and everybody's in a hurry. And so if I get even to change one person's schedule, I get to make an impact on their day. And so he's telling people in the bus, everybody's in a hurry. Let's make sure they make their flights. And so he's driving along and he sees somebody. You can see it in somebody's eyes when they're panicking and they're, I better catch this shuttle. Otherwise, I'm not going to see my family. And you see it, kind of this hopelessness or this panic in their eyes. And he's telling the bus, he says, you see just the desperation in people's eyes when they're looking for a bus. So as they're driving by and kind of the, no, don't leave. And the bus driver's telling it. And so he got the whole bus beginning to look out for people that kind of have that no look. And so then they're pulling over and they're like, oh, there's one right there. And so they're pulling over and they grab this guy and the guy gets on. Everyone in the bus begins to celebrate. And so they're driving around all around the airport, picking, oh, there's another one. They pull off, and the whole bus is now working together because they're celebrating what's going on. And a man like this, Ortberg describes, a man like this is bringing a little bit of Jesus in their lives, a little bit of love and compassion. And what he did was contagious, where the whole bus began to be on this mission, and they were encouraging the bus driver. Now, the cynical side of me says, well, the bus driver's just doing this for good tips, right? But in some sense, good action should be rewarded anyway. But really, that love is contagious no matter what. So sure, maybe he was doing it for good tips, but he made it more enjoyable for everybody, and the whole bus ride was going on one common mission. One common goal. And so that's a little glimpse of what a life looks like that flourishes and what a life looks like that's contagious and sharing hope and love with others around you. That's just a small picture. Yet, when we get into the daily grind and we get into our daily lives, we don't always look like that bus driver, do we? Now, I don't know if many of you have read self-help books or articles and different things. Every year, I begin to look at my life and say, okay, how do I begin to improve? How do I do these things? But as I was sharing earlier, I fail. I don't always keep my resolutions. And so there's this aspect in my life that I desire greatness, yet I always fall short. And here's one reason, as we're going to look in the scriptures, I believe there's a certain reason that we tend to fall short. Because we often try to fix our circumstances instead of really fixing our heart. What I mean by this is, so for example, if we're looking, sometimes it maybe exercise is always a common New Year's resolution. And exercising is a wonderful thing. It's a good idea to exercise and stay healthy and fit. But maybe it's simply, because what we can do in our goal is say, all right, 2017, new year, I'm going to begin to exercise. And so we exercise and we become a gym fanatic. And then some of us are on Facebook and, you know, posting our biceps and we've now replaced unhealthy eating with an addiction to body and fitness. But really what might be underneath is maybe there's a heart issue that we're failing to really look at. Because maybe one year we solved our hurt and our pain with overeating. And now the next year we're just filling this hurt and pain by exercising all the time. Or maybe it's relationships. Maybe you're struggling with a relationship and there's this one relationship that you can't fix and maybe it's your goal to fix it, but maybe beneath it you really have an issue of forgiveness. Maybe you struggle to forgive others and maybe you actually struggle to forgive yourself. And so one relationship after another ends up failing, but it's really what's deep down beneath. Or maybe it's finances. Finances is often a great goal to have. But if you are greedy and if you are stubborn with a little bit of wealth, you're going to be greedy with a lot of wealth. I don't know. I don't think that really makes sense. But if you have a lot, if you don't address your heart, you're still will be greedy with that. And so really, what we need in our lives is a whole life transformation. It's not simply get your finances, get exercise, and those are all good things, relationships we want to work on, but we need a heart transformation. And that's what the scriptures talk about. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. I encourage you to put this to memory. That says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. And the version I memorize is, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. The old is gone. And the scripture says, the new is here. The new is present. It's alive. Let's break that down, because this is, I feel like God has this word for us in 2017. This to put in to memory. Whatever version you grew up memorizing or you're comfortable with, I encourage you to put this to memory. I mean, look at this verse. If anyone, bless you. If anyone is in Christ. Anyone. This message, this good news of the scriptures is for anyone and everyone. It's not just the ones that are good at playing church or the ones that have, man, they just really nailed their 2016 goals. This is for anyone. Anyone and everyone is invited to come into Christ. Now, what does that mean to be in Christ? Is that, well, some days you're good and some days, I feel like I'm really in Christ. Being in Christ, first and foremost, is having your life transformed by God's love. Believing that Jesus died, that Jesus came, he lived the perfect life. He died a death on the cross for you and for me. And that he rose again, and that he put our sins, forgiving our sins, and now just as he rose from the dead, we too shall rise again. And so when you believe this, when you trust that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, you become part of this family. And you are now in Christ, and this message is for anyone and everyone. And maybe this is new for the very first time for you, or maybe you've been a Christian for a lot, for, I was going to say thousands of years. That's not possible. Often thinking of the scriptures. But if you've been a Christian for many years, this is also for you. This is a message we need to hear every single day. And so if you are in Christ, you are part of the family. You'll hear me use this analogy a lot, but when you are in the family, you are part of the family. It's not based on your performance. Little baby Luke, many of you know I have a brand new newborn in our house, just about less than a month old. And little Luke is a Burke. He's in my family. He is my son. It's not as he wakes up last night, he kind of kept us up a lot through the night. And if he does these, I don't wake up in the morning and say, you know what, Luke? You kept me up last night, son. You're out of the family. You're no longer a Burke. I mean, that's the fifth poopy diaper I changed today. You're out, bro. You're out. No, he is part of the family. He is a Burke through and through, no matter how well he's doing. If he's crying all day, if he's complaining, he's not mowing my lawn yet, I don't get why, and I'm working on it. I'll give him a few months. But he's a Burke. He's always a Burke. He is in the family. He's on the team. If you are in Christ, it is not based on your performance. It's based on Jesus' performance. Jesus is the one that went to the cross. He is the one that paid the penalty. And all you have to do is show up and believe. And when you take that step of faith, when you follow Jesus, he says, you're in me. You belong in me, and my spirit is in you. And in fact, the old has gone and the new has come. You are now a new creation. And that, friends, is a beautiful thing. Because what ends up happening is the old gets brought up often in our lives. Do you have this in your life where maybe it's yourself or maybe others saying, you can't do this. You will never accomplish that. You are this type of person. You're an angry person. And everyone's voices begin saying, no, you can't do this. But what the scriptures say is that you are a new creation. The scriptures say that we are sinful, that we are sinners, yet at the very same time that we are God's chosen people. And how do you get chosen? It's simply believing. By believing, you are chosen and you are part of the family. And he welcomes you in, just as I was holding my baby boy here on Christmas Eve. You're part of the family. He looks at you, God looks at you and loves you and holds you tight. You are his new creation. Think about this. Francis Chan uses this analogy of this new creation. I mean, imagine, think about when we think about transformation. I mean, think about a caterpillar. As a caterpillar walks along, a caterpillar is not a very impressive creature, right? It's small, it's squishy. You know, if it gets stepped on, it's done, right? It doesn't move very fast and just kind of crawls along. And I'm often thinking about reading to my daughter right now, James and the Giant Peach. And there's this kind of gang, this group of a spider, a centipede, and an earthworm. There's not really a caterpillar, but I almost kind of envision this, right? So imagine this caterpillar is just hanging out with his friends, the spider, the earthworm, and the caterpillar's here, and one day he decides to sneak off. And he falls asleep. He falls asleep. I mean, imagine you're this caterpillar. And you fall asleep, not just for a little bit, but for a long time. A deep sleep. You've got this cocoon. Some of you are cocooners, right? When you sleep in the winter, you wrap up your comforters and you just get all cozy. And I mean, imagine just a deep sleep. And then you wake up, you begin to, it's probably tight in the cocoon because now you've grown. And so things are uncomfortable and you begin to stretch and you're stretching out. I mean, imagine what that's like. Well, waking up for the first time, and then all of a sudden just begin to bust out of the cocoon and be like, what? You know, looking and you're like, what is this? And to begin to just jump and and fly for the very first time. Imagine what that's like. To begin where you were always on the ground, just barely moving along. And now you're up and you've got these gorgeous wings and you're just probably like, "Woo, I look good." You know, flying and just going where you please and looking above, and all of your friends, the earthworm, the spider are like, "Man, bro, we miss you." You know, and you're just, ah. But imagine the butterfly if he didn't step into really who he was as a new creation. What if he's just putting along on the ground? Oh, here's another day. You know, he's got these beautiful wings, and he's just, "Oh, I need to get over there." And so slowly crawls as a butterfly to his new destination. The scriptures say, no, 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 no. You were once a caterpillar, and now you are a butterfly. Now, what the world tries to tell you, oh, well, you can't do this, you can't accomplish that. But what the scriptures say, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. It's not some self-help, because really, if I'm up here preaching self-help, it's going to fail. If I just give you strategies on how to accomplish and tackle 2017, it won't work. It's why the articles you read in the newspaper, all of these tricks and gadgets you can try and have in your life, watches that beep and remind you and wake you up on a certain time, they're all going to fall short. It's like me standing up here and trying to give you tips on how to have a full set of hair, right? It wouldn't be very good advice. Everyone out there that is giving you self-help tips is human. They will fail. They have failed. They haven't accomplished their goals. So as you're reading these self-help books, this isn't a self-help message. Because really, the scriptures say that you are a new creation. If you are in Christ, God has transformed you, and God continues to work a new thing in your life, and it has a new creation, and now you are this new creation that can accomplish many things. The scriptures don't give self-help. They say what you and I need is complete transformation. I want to end with this last word, and this scripture I shared with some of us earlier a few weeks ago. Go with me to Isaiah 43, verse 18 through 20. To give you a little background of this text, what God says, he says in verse 15, he says, "I'm the Lord your God. I am your creator." And he begins to go through all of the things that he has done. He begins to say, I am the one that parted the Red Sea. And when Pharaoh's army began to chase after you, the Israelites, some of Israel's history were in the Old Testament, and they were in slavery with the Egyptians. And so they escaped. And Pharaoh, the leader of the Egyptians, sent an army after the Israelites. And so what God does is, some of us know this whether we've grown up in church or not, God begins to part the Red Sea. He parts the Red Sea, and then he takes care of the army that was chasing after the Israelites. But what God says, he says, "I want you to remember these things." All throughout scriptures, we're called to remember all of the good things that God does. Yet in this scripture, he says this in Isaiah 43, 18. He says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past." And so I struggled with this. Well, so much of the Jewish tradition and our early tradition, the tradition of the Israelites is to remember the Passover. Remember what God has done. Remember that God is the one that rescued you out of slavery. So when this says, "Do not dwell on the past, forget the former things," to me, there was this tension. Well, God, you tell us to remember. Yet, as you begin to explore a little bit, the idea is not to forget completely. But do you ever look back and saying, "Man, I wish life was how it used to be." Man, do you remember maybe even in church, the good old days when blank? Do you remember when this happened in my life? But what God says this in the next verse, I love, is amazing. It's verse 19. "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So some of that, the versions describe, and then it says, to give a drink to my people, my chosen. Streams in the wasteland, streams in the desert. The Israelites, as they were escaping, they were cornered. As they were leaving Egypt, they were coming out and they were cornered. And the only way for them to go, they had wilderness, they had armies behind them. The only way for them to go was through the Red Sea. God says, I've done that in the past, but behold, I'm doing a new thing. What in your life is surrounding? What looks, what is defining your life? Is there a desert? Is there a forest in your life where all you see is trees? And if you're taking notes, I failed miserably, and I'm giving you the last one right now. We'll post those online. The first one, well, let's do this. We'll do a little recap. Let the old you die. If we're going to have a new you, you have to let the old you die. Because if you're going to be a butterfly, you have to say goodbye to the caterpillar. What the world wants to tell you, no, you have this addiction. You are an angry person. We have to let that old you die. The second point, it's time to upgrade. If you are a new creation, it's time to act like you are a new creation. It's time to upgrade. It's time to get those new wings and fly. Because that is what Christ has done, and that's what he does in you. Thirdly, when all you see is trees, look for the new road in your life. When all you see is a roadblock, look that God will do a new thing. Maybe you're stuck in a rut in your career. Maybe you're stuck in a rut at home, and maybe you're just kind of trying to get by. And maybe you're not really living, you're not flourishing like God wants you to flourish. And so some of the ways we get to flourish is in the house of God, but another way we get to flourish is simply in day-to-day life. I began to practice this in my own house. As I was coming home from work and spending time with my daughters, do you ever do this? Do you always just simply look to get to the next thing? To simply, I was with my girls and I was like, man, once I get them down, then I get time to myself and that will be good. Sometimes we do that in spiritual life, right? Well, when I just get that alone time with God, then my life will be good. But I began to say to myself, what if instead of just checking out these 2 hours as I'm spending time with my beautiful girls, instead of just checking out, oh, I can't wait, how many more minutes? What if in these next 2 hours, my goal was to be the best dad I could be? And even though I'm tired and even though I've had a long day, what if I could simply be the best dad and bring Jesus to them? In my mind, there was this roadblock. I was tired. I had enough in my day. But what if God could begin to cause breakthrough in our lives where we see these roadblocks so that we could flourish? Streams in a desert. Our city is looking. We are thirsty for something. Jesus says, all who are thirsty, come to me. I will give you living water. We live in a desert where we are thirsty, and yet all you see is dryness around. And maybe you're around in areas where people need to know about God's love. And I feel like this job I'm in or this family life is hopeless. It's desert. I'm dry maybe in my own soul. But what if God began to do a new thing? What if you began, maybe we have these New Year's resolutions, but maybe we've set them too low. Maybe we haven't, all we see is desert and we're just looking for a little water fountain. But what if you began to look and actually that God would have a rushing river through a desert in your life? What if we began to dream and hope and expect? God has done great things in our community in the past, but what if God will continue to do even greater things in the future? In fact, I think we can hold to this promise because God says, behold, I have done wonderful things, but forget them, I am doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing in this church. I'm doing a new thing in our city. I'm doing a new thing in your life. Would you trust that Jesus living water is flowing through. Maybe this year, your dreams and your goals is to pray bigger, to forget the former and trust that God is doing a new thing in this church, in this city, and in your life. Will you believe that? Will you stand and be amazed by God's love when all you see is desert, that God is the God of breakthrough and that God can break through in your life? And this message is for anyone and everyone. It's not based on your performance, but it's based on a God who is crazy about you and a God that wants to bless you richly, and he desires for you to flourish in 2017. Will you trust that? Will you believe that? Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your word here. Father, I feel like there's some people in this room that maybe need to hear that word, that this message is for them, that they are welcome into your family, not based on their performance. 2016 can be a thing of the past, to forget the former things, as we get to forget our former selves, yet we get to step into a new life, a new creation, just as you spoke words and void a formless world where there was darkness. You spoke and you spoke life and you spoke this whole world into order. Lord, may you speak order into our lives. May we be a new creation. May there be streams in the desert. Lord, may there be a road through the wilderness. May you guide us in 2017. May you be the center of everything we do. Father, help us to trust you and to trust that you are doing a new thing. We ask that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.